There are a lot of ways to indulge your sweet tooth, and this time of the year there seems to be pretty much something wherever you look, but a single wonderfully made candy can really satisfy like almost nothing else. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Elizabeth LeBeau is a food writer, a recipe developer, and an enthusiastic candy eater, and she writes the candy entries on about.com, where she provides a step-by-step tutorial or tutorials for the home candy maker. And she's the author of the book that we'll be talking about. It's called The Sweet Book of Candy Making. And, oh, it makes you hungry for candy when you look at this book. Her website is www.elizabethlebeau. And LeBeau is spelled LABAU. LeBeau, ElizabethLeBeau.com. We have a link, of course, on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show to her site and to her book, which again is titled The Sweet Book of Candy Making. And let's see if I've got her on here. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry.
It's your book is a lot of fun.
You know, it was probably even more fun to write because everything you see, I got to taste multiple times.
Oh, you know, I was so wishing that you would come to be here in person because I knew if you came, you'd probably bring some of those delicious looking candies.
Well, you know, I always have to buy people's affections with candy. So there would have been a little something for you had I been in studio.
Well, I'm just glad to be able to talk to you on the phone. And I love the explain how you put the book together. First, there's some great photography, but then step by step, you've got what? How many? 50 or so? Or is there other?
There's, over 20 tutorials and over 70 recipes. And I think candy making, you know, it's such a visual process sometimes. You need to know what the different steps should look like. So we really wanted to emphasize these step by step photos so you could see, does my candy match, you know, is it looking the way it should at this point in the process?
And I like the photos that you also included where things didn't go right. if it looks like this, it's because...
Well, you know, we've all seen those a time or two as well, right? When you're sort of knee-deep in messy candy and wondering, what did I do wrong?
Oh, man. So we have photos step by step. I really like the troubleshooting tips that you have in the book. Questions, my fudge is grainy, why? And then you answer that. And
you know, I have to say those all came from personal experience as well. Anything your listeners have done, I've probably done twice. So, it's just common problems and ways to avoid them before you even start.
Now, what are the main categories of candies?
In the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're divided into basically ingredients, I think. So there's sugar candies that are basically just sugar that you boil to a high temperature. Those are your lollipops and taffies and things. There's caramels and toffees where you add things to sugar, so butter and cream and dairy products usually. Yeah. There's truffles, which are chocolate and cream mixed together, and different types of fudges, marshmallows. Homemade marshmallows, I think, are one of the best things you can experiment with. Yeah, you don't often have a homemade marshmallow, so.
No, that's very true. And one thing, I'd never made truffles, and as you point out in your book, it's a con game in a way because they're always considered truffles, you know, very sort of high end, but basically you got two ingredients.
Yeah, you have fancy places selling them for $2 a truffle, and you buy yourself some chocolate and cream, and you can make your own for much less, and they're just as good.
Yeah, so I was really glad to see that. They're very easy to make, and it looks like they'd be hard to make.
Do you think this is the year your Christmas, you know, receivers will get some truffles from you?
I'm thinking that way. I'm moving in that direction. Oh, man. Our guest today, Elizabeth LeBeau, who is the author of The Sweet Book of Candy Making. She's a food writer, recipe developer, and an enthusiastic, just like me, enthusiastic candy eater. And she writes the candy entries on about.com. candyhelp.com. She gives step-by-step tutorials. So it's great to have her along. Do you make candy? What are your favorites? Do you give or receive homemade candies as gifts? Which kinds? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. All right, so I've got the different types that you talk about in your books. Are there some candies that are sort of like the for the novice better to start with than others?
Yeah, I would say some of the easiest candies to make involve chocolate and adding things to chocolate, like different types of clusters or different types of bark. So really, it could be as simple as stirring your favorite nuts or dried fruit into chocolate and dropping them, you know, in small little spoonfuls.
Yep.
And those, you know, all sorts of candy stores sell nut clusters, but you don't have to go buy them. You can make them, and that's a great place to start. Same with barks. Spread out some chocolate and sprinkle your favorite coconut, nuts, fruit, you know, other types of chopped up candy on top. And you've made your own candy in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's great. The foundation ingredients basically too aren't all that many.
No, not too many and not hard to find at all. You know, things that most people have in their pantries already.
What about equipment? I think, as I'm thinking about it, a candy thermometer is probably, that's a key thing for some, at least, candies.
I would say for any candy that involves boiling sugar, so that would be your lollipops, your caramels, your toffees, anything like that, you do want to invest in a candy thermometer. But, of course, when I say invest, you can buy them for $6 at your local supermarket. You know, it's not a huge cost investment.
And they're accurate, pretty accurate, even the cheap ones?
They are, but what I recommend, actually, is that you test your candy thermometer. And the way you would do that is you'd bring some water to a boil and then stick your thermometer in. If you're at sea level, it should boil at 212 degrees. And so if your thermometer is not at 212 degrees, you just make a note of what temperature it is. Let's say it's at 210. So you know that your thermometer actually measures 2 degrees less.
Ah.
And so for any recipe, you want to just subtract 2 degrees. So if it says to cook your candy to 300, you're only going to cook it to 298. And that way you know that your thermometer, even if it's not completely accurate, you're still getting an accurate result.
Yeah. Excellent.
And so this is useful if you're at a higher altitude or if you're using an unfamiliar thermometer. Just give it a little test before you use it so you don't have a ruined candy.
Makes good sense to me. And you mentioned toffee. My mind went back to that. I think I like toffee so much because the butter.
A little secret ingredient there, lots of butter.
There's a lot of butter in toffee as I looked at your recipes.
There is, and it is what gives it sort of that delicious, crisp, you know, that deeply caramelized flavor from the sugar and all the butter. I mean, it's an indulgence for sure, and that's why it's so good, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Lynn in Eau Claire has a comment. Hi, Lynn. Thank you for calling.
Hi Larry. Good morning. This is wonderful, and a lot of us are busy now getting our goodies ready for the holidays. A couple things I've found is it's so easy to make vanilla sugar, and I use it with all of my candy making because that vanilla is such a wonderful binder, and it's so rich and delicious, and then you can also put it in your tea and coffee. But while hunting for ingredients, I found Kalahari Desert Salt. And it comes in beautiful large crystals. It does not blow the back of your head off, and it's wonderful on chocolate caramels.
Hmm.
And also on vanilla caramels, I tried got my mortar and pestle out and crushed some pink peppercorns, and three-year-olds liked it. I mean, it was amazing. It was surprisingly amazing.
Oh, sounds good. What do you think, Elizabeth?
I think that sounds fantastic, and I think that interplay of sort of salty and sweet and savory and sweet has gotten so popular now, and I think adding the salt crystals and the pink peppercorns is a really great sort of gourmet touch to your candy.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And the Kalahari Desert Salt, have you used that, Elizabeth?
I haven't. I'm actually writing it down because I'm going to go check it out and try to pick some up for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lynn. Really appreciate your call very much. I wrote down Kalahari Desert Salt, too, and I'm going to look for that, too. Risha in Gays Mills. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. I like to try something new every year, and this year I'm going to try to make chocolate-covered cherries. And I would just like some hints from your guests so I don't fail at this.
All right. What do you think, Elizabeth?
Yeah, you're looking for the ones with the liquid centers. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Those are, I think, everyone's favorite. In my book, I have a recipe for them, and I actually recommend a specialty ingredient that you may or may not want to track down, but it's called Invertase.
Yes, what is that? I've been looking at recipes, and I saw that, and I'd never heard of it.
Yes, it's an enzyme, and what it does, when you add it to sugar, it gradually breaks down the sugar to make it liquid.
Okay.
And so it's sort of an easy way to get that liquidy center without having to wait for several months and wondering whether your cooked candy is going to do what you want it to do. It's really easy to find online. It's
okay.
Only a couple dollars. It's not an expensive ingredient. Or some cake and candy making supply stores carry it sometimes.
Excellent.
So you just need like an ounce or two because you're only going to use a quarter teaspoon or a half teaspoon depending on your batch.
Okay.
But, it's sort of your secret weapon when you add it to your fondant center. Once it's dipped in chocolate, you wait about a week and then you have a delicious liquid center.
Well, that was my next question, was how long do they have to sit?
If you're doing it for Christmas, I would start pretty soon. It needs a week or two.
Okay, yes, they were going to be a Christmas gift. All right, well, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Shirley, well, before we get to Shirley, you mentioned fondant. And fondant,
yes.
As you point out in your book, I was a big fan of the Ace of Cakes, that show on the Food Channel. I don't know if you ever watched it, but the fondant.
Oh,
things,
they have great stuff, yeah.
Oh, it's the great stuff with fondant. But we usually think of fondant with, you know, covering wedding cakes, but you can make it as a candy, too.
Yeah, there's a couple different kinds. What you use for cakes is called rolled fondant, and then the stuff you use in candy is typically a little bit different because you want it to be a little softer. You don't want to be eating kind of a something sturdy enough to roll over a cake. You know, you might want it a little more tender. But it's the same basic idea of being a cooked sugar syrup that you need until it becomes kind of a paste. And any cream candy that you buy is typically fondant-based. So if you like your vanilla creams, your lemon creams, that's usually a type of fondant.
All right, there we go. Shirley, in Neillsville, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I'm going to attempt my aunt's recipe of divinity this year. She died a couple of years ago, and I miss it. And I wondered first, what is the difference between seafoam candy and divinity? And two, do you have any tips for me for success?
You know, I've heard the terms used interchangeably. And I don't know if some people are very picky about it, but I've heard them both used to describe divinity. One might be that it's used with brown sugar. That might be seafoam, but I do hear people use it sort of describing the same candy. Mm-hmm. My biggest tip would be, and you might know this, would be to not attempt it during humid weather.
I thought that was the
Yeah, anything involving like meringue, sugar syrup, egg whites, you're not going to want to try to do when it's stormy or humid outside. A snowstorm, anything like that, it could just cause it to not foam up and to not have that wonderful light texture.
Yes. Oh, that sounds good. I think I will try it.
All right.
I'm a little nervous, but
give it a shot, Shirley. Give it a try.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, my goodness. So open lines, finally. You can join in. Lots of open lines, and we'll get you on pretty quickly as we visit today with Elizabeth LeBeau, author of The Sweet Book of Candy Making. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Rob Ferret, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Having some great fun today talking with Elizabeth LeBeau, who is the author of The Sweet Book of Candy Making, talking about her book and about making candy. Her book is an excellent book. It gives step-by-step instructions with a lot of good photography so you can see, you know, the various steps. It's really a nice way to go. And I've certainly enjoyed having the book and looking through it, and I'm pretty sure you will too. You may have a question for her. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Thatcher in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. This is like a gift from heaven, you know. I've got the assignment to make chocolate truffles for a gathering. There's a lot of face involved. I've got a recipe that was given to me. I've never made truffles before. And I want to know, is there any really critical stuff I should be aware of that if I do wrong will set me back and lose face and I'll be unhappy and my wife will cry and, oh, my God, I can just see everything bad happening.
The divorce lawyer, it's every, yeah, I can.
It's so awful. I'm almost paralyzed.
Well, you should have a copy of Elizabeth's book because she's got some great truffles. But Elizabeth, spur of the moment here, can you give some advice?
Yes. I mean, deep breath. Step away from the brink. Everything will be okay. Well, I think, you know, truffles are a great place to start. I think you're exactly right with having this be your first candy experience. I would say, one, are you going to dip them in chocolate? Or are you going to roll them in cocoa powder? Do you have a plan of how you're going to finish them already?
These are going to be dipped in chocolate and rolled in coconut powder and maybe some nuts and maybe some coconut.
Nice.
Wow.
This is great stuff, you know.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I think the actual mixing of the truffles is going to go pretty smoothly. It's pretty foolproof. You might pick up a small candy scoop to scoop them with so that you're not trying to use a teaspoon. You know, they sell sort of the little spring-loaded ones you see, sort of like cookie scoops or ice cream scoops. They smell really small ones for candy, and that'll make your job really fast, and it'll make all your truffles the same size.
That's a good tip.
I like that idea.
Yeah, you're going to want to scoop it when it's not really hard, you know, maybe when it's a little bit firmer than peanut butter so that you can easily scoop it, roll it between your hands, and then I would say if it's cool in your house, if it's not really warm, let them sit at room temperature overnight instead of refrigerating them because that'll give your truffles, it'll almost form a skin on the ganache, and that might sound gross, but it's actually desirable because then they don't have to be cold when you dip them in chocolate. If they're cold, the chocolate tends to crack as they come back to room temperature, and you end up with sort of a cracked finish. So if you let them sit overnight before you dip them, they get sort of this protective skin, and then you could just dip them when they're at cool room temperature, and that will make them look much nicer. No chance of cracking. It'll make your job a lot faster and easier.
And how do you dip them?
You want there's a couple of different ways. The easiest way is maybe just to use a fork and to submerge it and then lift it out of the chocolate with a fork and set it carefully on, you know, a baking tray or on your surface covered in wax paper. You can also just put a little spoonful of chocolate in your hand and roll the truffle around in the spoonful of chocolate in your hand. And this will give it sort of a textured finish, so it won't be that smooth finish, but it's great if you're going to then roll it in cocoa powder. You can tip it straight from your hand into the cocoa powder and cover it when the chocolate's still wet. And that helps the cocoa powder adhere really nicely.
Now, one of these instructions says to get a warm heating blanket and keep your chocolate at 90 degrees, and if it goes above 94, you're toast.
That would be if you're tempering the chocolate. You know, if you want to get sort of this really beautiful, smooth, glossy finish with a snap, I would say if you're going to roll it in cocoa powder and nuts afterwards, you don't need to worry about that because you don't need the shiny, beautiful finish. No one's going to see it, right? It's going to be
well. You never know with this group. They'll probably brush the cocoa off, and you know, they'll all talk around, and I'll lose face. And
well, Well, I mean, you know, maybe you should reconsider your friends, but...
you have this, you've got to get over this defeatist attitude, Thatcher. You think positively. This is going to go great. You should send, in fact, you should mail some of them to Wisconsin Public Radio, care of Larry Mueller, and I will judge them. And, you know, if you get any bad comments from your friends, I could be the final arbiter. I'm happy to...
We can work a deal here. Now, is there anything else besides the coconut or nuts or cocoa that it's okay to roll these things in?
I mean, truly anything you can think of. If you're doing it right now around the holiday season, you can crush up some candy canes and sprinkle some candy canes on top. Any sort of peppermint candy is great. Yeah, like toasted nuts, you can do crushed cereals, if you happen to have like a cereal you love or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Cookies, like crushed Oreo cookies, is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Lots of options there. Hey, shoot me an email later and tell me how this all works out, will you, Thatcher?
Well, I certainly will. And, you know, I'm emboldened. I'm encouraged.
You're in the right frame of mind. Good luck, and thanks a lot for calling.
My fingers are crossed for you.
Yeah. Paula in Spring Green. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I must say I really enjoyed the last caller. He's a wonderful radio voice. He sounds a little like Jack Benny to me. But my question is, are any of your recipes online?
We actually have a couple of them online on my Facebook page.
Okay. Are any of the author's recipes online? Or
no, that's what I mean. We have posted, I think we're posting a couple of recipes as a note on the Facebook page. But go ahead. What's your question, Paula, relating to those recipes?
I'm looking forward to purchasing the book, but in the meantime, with Christmas rush and all the activities, I thought maybe I could just get some online until I purchase the book.
Yeah, and talk about your page, Elizabeth.
Yeah, and what the other thing I can do, I will talk about my page, but I have posted several recipes from the book on my personal website, and
cool.
My publisher has also published several. So what I will do is I will add links to those to your Facebook page.
Perfect.
And so anyone coming to your Facebook page can find some links. I'm going to put up there's a peppermint swirl marshmallow that I'm going to be putting up this week, and there's a red velvet fudge that's also great for the holidays. So you can see some links to that and see some examples of the types of recipes you'll find and see the full recipes that maybe you can make, you know, before you get the book or whatever. I'll do that for your readers.
Oh, thank you very much. There you go, Paula.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yep, you as well. And we had Susan from Cottage Grove emailed and wondered, what is nougat and how do I make my own Snickers?
Oh, good question. Nougat is sort of similar to marshmallow in that they both involve whipping egg whites and boiling a sugar syrup, and then you pour the sugar syrup into the egg whites, and it becomes sort of this aerated, chewy candy. And so to make your own Snickers, you would create your nougat, which is a peanut butter nougat. I actually don't have a recipe for that in the book, but I know there's several online. Actually, on the about.com candy website, I have a knockoff Snickers recipe that involves a peanut nougat.
Oh.
And, yeah, and there's also a few cheaters nougats you can make involving marshmallow cream, where you mix marshmallow cream and some melted white chocolate and peanut butter, and that's sort of an approximation if you don't want to take the time to do
the whole
45-minute nougat cooking process, yeah. So if you want to go to candy.about.com, mm-hmm. and you can search for Snickers bar, and there's a knockoff recipe for that.
Mm. Tom in Oconomowoc, thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Elizabeth. I've got two questions. One, the first one is on fudge. When we were kids, we used to go to the state fair and get copper kettle fudge. And it was more of a hard, chunky, flaky fudge that when you put it in your mouth, it just dissolved. In the contrary to today's fudge, which is more creamy. How would you achieve that?
You know, a lot of old-fashioned fudges have a little bit more of that. They break apart, and they have maybe a slight grain to them instead of, like, that creamy. And
mm-hmm.
so the way those – yeah, does that sound about right?
Yep.
Yeah, so the way those are made, instead of – so the creamy ones are made using marshmallow cream usually and melted chocolate. And the old-fashioned ones, you boil a sugar syrup to a specific temperature, and you let it cool, and then you beat it, either by hand or you put it in a mixer. And that process of beating the sugar syrup, the sugar gradually crystallizes, and that's what causes that sort of particular hard texture, is the sugar crystals that have formed this structure. And and it's a lot more work, which is why I think people have gradually come to like the creamy ones, because you don't have to beat your arm off and everything, but it is, they are cool. Different. There's no substitute for it, I agree.
Is that in your book, that type of a recipe, or is that just something I have to research online to make sure I do it correctly?
I have a chocolate recipe in my book, and then a red velvet fudge that's also old-fashioned.
There you go.
So there's a couple options, yeah.
Okay, great. And the second question, you had touched on the divinity about the egg whites. I don't know if you're familiar with a dessert called Schaumtorte. It's a German dessert.
Mm. I'm not.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's very good. I found it funny what you said, because sometimes when I make it, I get a real marshmallowy bottom to it, and then other times that deflates and becomes real chewy. Is that, do you think that's directly related to the humidity at the time of year when we make it? Because we make it throughout the year.
I think that's a really good guess, because what it does is it absorbs moisture from the air. And so if it's sort of soggy or chewy, that's probably because it's taken too much moisture from your stormy or your humid air.
Is there any way of correcting that during that time?
Unfortunately, there's really not too much you can do.
If you had an air conditioned
if you had an air conditioned place, would that make a difference? Would take some of the moisture out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it might take some, and I guess it just depends on how much
how bad it is. Yeah. Schaumtorte are really good, though. That's for sure. Thanks, Tom. A lot of German, I mean, this Norwegian, we have a Norwegian, Scandinavian, German population here in Wisconsin. So that's probably why Schaumtorte is so popular here.
I'm going to have to check out.
Yeah, well, it's really good. Renee and Fond du Lac. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. Back to divinity. My mother is allergic to corn syrup. Is there any recipe that you don't need corn syrup?
For divinity, okay.
Yeah, and there's also substitutes you can get for corn syrup. You can use glucose syrup, which is, I believe, not corn-based.
Okay.
And so it has the same properties, and you can use it in a 1-to-1 ratio. But if the corn is actually the issue for her, glucose might be a great substitute.
Okay, that's awesome.
I believe it's sugar cane-based instead of corn-based. And that's something you can find online, or again, in some of the maybe cake or candy decorating stores. They usually carry glucose because it's a pretty common candy ingredient.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Billy in Wausau. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, this might be my favorite show of all time. Now, I'm known for making a lot of very odd candies. Last year, I made a beer and peanut brittle. And this year I'm doing balsamic vinegar with blanched almonds. My question is, how is it best to package these brittles? Because humidity is such a big issue. Would I be best off using little desiccant packages like those that come in your shoebox, or do you have an alternate method?
I was actually going to recommend that. I think that's a great trick. And, I mean, other than keeping them very well sealed and keeping the desiccant packages, I mean, I think that's all you can do, but I think that's the best possible solution.
Great. Thank you so much for the help, and I'm definitely enjoying the program.
Ah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, Elizabeth, unfortunately, you're just going to be tied to this program for a while. We're going to have to get you back a few times to talk more with us.
That would be fantastic.
All right.
You have some real candy lovers in
here. Oh, yeah. Lots of good people listen to this program. And we have an open line. Brian's up next from Green Bay, but there's an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Gail emailed, wanted you to talk about the pans that are used for cooking candy. And would you describe a heavy pan?
Oh, because recipes always say use a heavy-bottomed pan.
Yeah.
And the reason recipes say that is because if you have sort of a very thin, cheap pan, it can have an uneven bottom, and it can create hot spots where your candy might scorch in one spot instead of others. So there's not that there's a, you know, a secret shop that sells heavy bottom pans. You have to go buy these specific kinds. But basically, copper, I think, is the gold standard of candy pans because it conducts heat so well and so evenly. But those are quite expensive. So if you wanted a substitute, any sort of stainless steel pan would work nicely, or even a composite pan that feels heavy to the touch. You don't want a really thin aluminum pan that feels light that's going to let your candy scorch in different places.
Very good. Brian in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, Brian.
Hello. I just had kind of a quick little recipe that I make, and then a question. We kind of make a little poor man's truffles in our house. We do just a bag of Oreos and then a brick of cream cheese. You mix it up until it's just kind of a black gooey. Roll that up, dip it in chocolate, and there you go. Question was, I like to have a shiny coating when I'm dipping my chocolate, but is there a piece of equipment that I can buy, or I don't know, some other way of doing this where I can have a perfect even coating on my chocolate rather than down and getting the flat spots where it kind of all pools down at the bottom? Or is there a better way of doing that?
Mm-hmm. Are you asking to... So you're asking about how to get the chocolate to look good, or to how to get it to coat the truffle evenly?
How to look good. I want a perfectly round ball of chocolate if I can get it.
And that's, you know, the same as doing it evenly, I think.
Right. I was sort of wondering if he was asking about tempering or asking about the actual coating process. And it sounds like you want to really just get a perfect sphere without any of the foot on the bottom.
Yep.
Not that I know of. I mean, even the ones from the nice chocolate shops tend to have a very small foot. I don't know that there's an easy mechanical solution or a machine you can get. I sort of just settle for putting them in candy cups so that no one can see the bottom and embracing the slight imperfection.
Okay.
I wish I had a different answer because I love the round ones too.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Brian. And somebody may call in yet and say, oh, I've got this machine that does it, or they may post on my Facebook page, so be sure to keep checking there. Because somebody might.
Way.
Yeah, we would all love to know that. Karen in Plymouth. Hi.
Hello. I was wondering, how do you determine that you're getting good quality chocolate for making candies? You know, they sell these chunks in the grocery store. Is that typically good to use?
I would say there's two things. One is you just want to look at the ingredients and make sure it doesn't have any funky additives. So if you're looking at a dark chocolate, literally your ingredients are going to be, you know, chocolate, sugar, maybe soy lecithin, which is an emulsifier to keep it, you know, smooth. But you don't want to have anything like palm kernel oil or anything that seems sort of artificial that's not really just your basic chocolate, sugar, cocoa butter type thing. And then the other factor to that is just what do you like the taste of? You don't need to be spending $10 for a 4-ounce bar if you love the taste of, you know, your typical sort of Trader Joe's large pound plus bar or whatever your chocolate of choice is. So good quality chocolate can be subjective. It doesn't necessarily involve price, but the ingredients, to make sure that they are just pure what you would find in chocolate and not full of fillers, would be the thing to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Elizabeth LeBeau, our guest, author of The Sweet Book of Candy Making, and Bevan Rhinelander, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm asking about chocolate again, dipping chocolate. The procedure, I have read about tempering it, and I have sometimes, and sometimes I haven't. So what are the positives of doing it either way?
Tempering is good for getting your chocolate to be shiny. It has a nice snap if you break it. If you don't temper and it's left at room temperature, sometimes you might notice that the chocolate gets soft. You know, you go to pick it up and it leaves a little residue on your hands, or it melts in your hand. Or it might bloom, which is when you notice sort of a grayish, dusty coating on the surface.
Okay.
When it comes to room temperature. So tempering prevents all of that. It makes it less likely to melt in your hand, and it makes it less likely to develop that sort of grayish, cloudy surface.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to keep your candy in the refrigerator the whole time and just serve it from the refrigerator, it won't have the chance to get soft and it won't have the chance to bloom. And so you don't really need to worry about tempering.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Judy in Lodi, hello.
Hi. I've got a recipe that I've had for 25 years from a woman. She's Polish. And she passed away, and she said, I could not give out this recipe until she passes away. Well, it's called Butter Chews, and I make it every year. Now I've got my grandchildren making it. My children are making it. And I'm telling you, Larry, if you like butter, this has at least a quarter stick to a quarter and a half a stick. And it
you
is
sound like my kind of gal.
Awesome. They are awesome. I don't have a computer, so I'm not able to, you know, Facebook or do any of that stuff. I just have a telephone. Whoopee. And but these, Elizabeth, you would go crazy if you had this recipe. Is there any way I could send it to you? You know, through the mail?
Well, you can certainly mail it to me, and I can make sure that Elizabeth gets it.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. But you cannot put these down. My son even called, and he says, Mom, you're going to make the butter chews again, aren't you? Every year I go through birthdays, Christmas, any kind of holiday, and I make them. And they're just out of the, they're made with coconut, brown sugar, lots of butter, and a little bit of salt, not a lot. But the peanuts, or not peanuts, but you have to use pecans or walnuts and crush them. So, because a lot of people don't like them, you know, with the bigger pieces because they stick in their teeth.
No.
But these are just out of this world. And you put them
in a nice... That sounds amazing.
Well, listen, you tell... Judy, you can send this to me. Write to me, Larry Mueller at WPR, and it's or Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 821 University Avenue in Madison.
All right.
821 University Avenue, Madison, 53706. And I will make sure Elizabeth gets this recipe.
I would love to read about it. Those sound delicious.
I definitely. Listen, I'll tell you what. I get it. As soon as I get it, I'll email you the recipe.
Thank you. That would be great.
It is so much fun. How's the book? Is the book selling well?
You know, it's doing really well. We've had some great feedback, some fun articles and mentions, and lots of positive blog responses. So it's fun to hear from people who've successfully made things and to share their favorites. And just like your listeners, everyone has a favorite candy, and it's really fun to hear about the response to that.
Yeah, and we didn't even get to talk about the glazed fruit. Will you come back and be with us again?
I would love that. There's a million candy holidays, so we'll have to find another good excuse to chat candy.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And tell you what, take a look at this book, Elizabeth LeBeau, and her name is last name is spelled LABAU, Elizabeth LeBeau. The book is Sweet Book of Candy Making. If you have access to a computer, you can go to my Facebook page. You don't need to be a member of Facebook in order to look at it. You've got a link there to her book. And really a lot of fun. She's a delightful person, isn't she? I tell you what, it was a lot of fun talking with her. And you know what? It's always a lot of fun to talk with my next guest as well. Once you make those beautiful candies, you're going to probably want to take some photos or pictures of them. And Jack Socha, photography instructor and author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, is our guest coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.